Sometimes we don't know why things happen in life. We don't. But when we don't understand things, we do fall back on what we do understand. And that's, Lord, you love this world enough to come into this world to die on a cross for us. And you rose again from that grave. And Lord, you've come to give us eternal life. And so we do lift up Christine and her family. Lord, it's easy to watch the senior saints graduate, but with little children, it's a whole lot different, Lord. And so I pray that you, God, would be the God of all comfort for this family. Lord, that you would take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it around for good. And that many souls would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior through what happened back in Vermont. And so, Lord, thank you for loving us so. May we thank you, Lord, for every day that we have. Sometimes we just automatically think we're going to put our feet on the floor tomorrow. But yet, Lord, the numbers of our days are numbered, Lord, and you know what they are. And so, Lord, may we live every moment of every day for you, Jesus. And may we intercede on behalf of all of those friends and relatives and loved ones and even our enemies, Lord, that don't know you, that they would come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And so tonight, Lord, as we sit at your feet, open hearts, open Bibles, may you feed your sheep, Lord. I pray, even as we saw Sunday, that this mind would be in us that is in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, change our way of thinking. Lord, may this not just be another Bible study, but a life-changing experience for each and every one of us. Because these are real-life things that we're reading in the Old Testament. And, Lord, we know that the Old Testament is Christ concealed and the New Testament is Christ revealed. It's all about you, Lord. And so tonight, bring your word alive, Lord, to our hearts. And may we be different as we leave this place than when we came in because of who you are and what you've done and what you desire to do in each and every one of us. Would you do that, please? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Kings 11 tonight. I thought we were going to do two chapters, but never fails. I get into one, have so much fun that I save the other one for next week. So let's see what the Lord has for us tonight. 2 Kings chapter 11. Over the last few weeks, we've witnessed a tremendous amount of bloodshed. A lot of people say they don't like the Old Testament because it's a bloody section of God's Word, the Bible. When Elisha the prophet had anointed Jehu as king back in chapter 9, his divine commission was to clean house in Israel. At this particular point, Israel was divided in two parts, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was known as Israel. The southern kingdom was known as Judah. And so the northern kingdom is where Ahab and Jezebel lived. And because of Ahab's sin, the Lord said that he would just remove Ahab's seed. Every generation of his sons would be wiped out. That the whole house of Ahab would perish. It's pretty heavy, isn't it? Why? Because Ahab was wicked in the sight of the Lord. And he also led Israel into idol worship. They were worshiping the god Baal. Last week I was referring to that god as Baal. We had a Jewish lady from upstairs that corrected me. I said, well, I'd just call him Baal because we're a bunch of Gentiles down here. But it is called Baal in Hebrew. So that was awful nice that she visited us last week and enjoyed our little fellowship here. So the whole house of Ahab was wiped out because of their worship of Baal and that they led Israel into worship of that false god. And that all of the males in Ahab's house, and there was a bunch of them, both bond and free, would be cut off, just as the Lord had said. And it was about 20 years following that prophecy from Elijah that this all happened. Sometimes people hear from the Lord and there's a warning and they tremble with fear for a season. But when time goes on, they tend to become complacent, think maybe God forgot. But God doesn't forget. There's only one time that God forgets. And that is when we confess our sin before Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible tells us that when God forgives us for our sin, He casts it as far as the east is from the west into the deepest part of the sea, and He remembers it no more. I like that. Because sometimes I remember my sin. And sometimes Satan will throw my sin, my past sins, up in my face. But as I often say, when Satan reminds me of my past, I remind him of his future. So hallelujah, we win. Israel, the northern kingdom, had been purged not only of Ahab, but his wicked wife Jezebel. We saw 2 weeks ago how the eunuchs, the servants, had thrown her out the window and she splattered on the ground, and the dogs came and ate her right there in the street, just as the Lord had prophesied. And so Ahab, Jezebel, all of their descendants, all of them, all of the worshipers of Baal, or Baal, as we saw last week, including the priests and the temple of Baal, was reduced to nothing but a refuse dump. God says what He means, and He means what He says, doesn't He? And God, when he says He's going to remove the wicked, He does. And this king, Jehu, destroyed Baal all from the northern kingdom. They just cleaned it all out, clean house. While King Jehu was in the process of cleaning out the house of Israel, it just so happened that the king of the southern kingdom, Judah, happened to be up north visiting Ahaziah, the king of the north. And he was up in the northern kingdom visiting his friend, King Joram, and was recovering from wounds that he had received in a previous battle. And isn't it amazing the way God works things out? Because while he was up there, he lost his life. It was at this time that King Jehu killed two birds with one stone, if you would. He shot Joram between the shoulder blades, Scripture told us, and the arrow blew right through his heart and out the front of his chest. There's one of them gone. And then, driving furiously, Jehu pursued Ahaziah, the king of the southern kingdom, and put an arrow through him as well. Got them both at the same time. The king of the northern kingdom, the king of the southern kingdom. Amazing how God had worked that out. With the death of Ahaziah, the southern kingdom, Judah is now left without a king. So guess who takes his place on the throne? We find her name in verse 1. The main subject of the first section of chapter 11 tonight is this wicked lady by the name of Athaliah. And she was the mother of Ahaziah. It was at this time that Ahaziah's mother uses the occasion of her son's death to take over the kingdom and become the queen mother. She wasn't put into office. She just assumed that position. And we find her name in verse 1, Athaliah. And it says this: when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all of the royal heirs. Wow. Athaliah was the only queen to rule over Judah in all of Israel's history. The only female to rule. A position that she had taken for herself. The amazing thing about this lady by the name of Athaliah is that she was a chip off the old block. She was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. She married the king of the southern kingdom and moved down into that area and brought Baal worship with her. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, doesn't it? It's amazing how Jehoshaphat was a godly king in the northern kingdom, and it was his son that married this wicked woman by the name of Athaliah. And that's when idolatry came down into the southern kingdom. What a lesson we find individually in the body of Christ, as well as corporately in the body of Christ. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Sometimes we think, well, it's only a little sin. Or sometimes we think that it's just a little bit of a twist on Scripture in the body of Christ. But a pastor friend of mine always tells me, you know, rat poison is 99% food. That's why we make sure that we pass out Bibles here. That's why we encourage you to be like the Bereans, to study the Word of God, to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth. That way, if you know the truth and you go through God's Word and you dig up the nuggets and you spend a lot of time in the Word of God, when the counterfeit comes along, bingo, it's going to stand right out to you. But a little leaven went into the southern kingdom, and the next thing you know, all of God's people are backslidden. The latest leaven in America today and throughout the world is called the emergent church. Yep, that's the big leaven today. Got books on it back there. Book of the month, Faith Undone. Tell you all about the emergent church. What are they into? They're bringing back emotionalism in the church. Let's do a little incense. Let's dim the lights. Let's get into contemplative prayer over and over and over. Let's just dabble in a little mysticism. It will blow you away, some of the churches that are into the emergent church. Anybody here ever hear of Willow Creek? Majorly into the emergent church stuff. And I could name a list. Get the book back there. It's free. Take one. Read it. Study the Bible, folks. Because every time leaven comes into the body of Christ, it's just a little bit more subtle. Where do you usually find leaven? To be honest with you, it's usually the biggest racks in the front of the Christian bookstore. There they are. I'm not going to name names tonight. You know who they are. But if you know the truth, you'll be able to pick them out like that. And so it's here that we see this Queen Athalia, the mother of Ahaziah. And what does she do? She saw that her son was dead and she arose and she destroyed all of the royal heirs. What does that mean? It means that she wiped out the lineage of King David. Pretty heavy stuff. Why? Because the Messiah would come through the lineage of David, through the root of Jesse, throne of David. He would be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And here we see, because her son was killed, Athalia now tries to wipe out the lineage to the Messiah. Pretty heavy stuff. Even though Ahab's descendants and the worship of Baal had been removed from Israel in the north, Baal was still being worshipped in the south, primarily because of this lady right here, the queen mother, Queen Athalia. She was probably equally as wicked as Jezebel, her mother. Amazing how we make disciples of one another. That's why all through Scripture we see that the younger men are supposed to be discipled by the older men in the church, and the older women are to disciple the younger women in the church. Discipleship is to be big in the church. In your home, guys, you're to be the high priest of your family. You're to train up your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren in the ways of the Lord. Why? Because the world out there gets our kids for a number of hours during the day, and we only get them for a few minutes in the morning and a few minutes in the evening when they come home, if they attend public schools. And so it's very important that we train up our children in the ways of the Lord. Because, I'll tell you what, Athalia is alive and well in America today. You see, Athalia was the one that, through conniving and through twisting, her husband had brought this into the southern kingdom. She brought Baal worship from the north into the south when she married Jehoram, the king of Judah. And so Athalia became the Jezebel of the southern kingdom, leading her husband and Judah deeper and deeper and deeper into idolatry. Athalia controlled her husband. Athalia controlled her son the whole time they were in office. And now that they're dead, she is going to reign for 6 years. 6 years. Imagine the damage that is going to be done. But what we see about her, she's so paranoid. She's so wicked. She's such a control freak that she wipes out this whole line of David's descendants. Amazingly enough, this is what's really a mind blower for somebody that's a power freak and caught up into idolatry. These were her grandchildren that she wiped out, man. Isn't it amazing when you go through Scripture, some of the things that people will do for power? And times haven't changed a whole lot. Look around what people do for wealth and power. And so the second part of verse 1 tells us she actually destroys all of those in the line of David that she can get her hands on. And what this is another attempt by Satan to destroy the Davidic line that leads up to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. And this is exactly why all through history, the devil has tried to exterminate the Jews. He hasn't given up either. Look what's going on in the Middle East. They're surrounded by their enemies. Just as Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24. I believe Christ is coming back very, very soon. Look at the earthquakes, man. Those people are rocking and rolling in Mexicali. I counted online the other day, 47 earthquakes in one day. They had one in London, England last night. When's the last time they had an earthquake in England? I don't even know. You know where the biggest earthquake was in the United States? Missouri. The Show Me State. God said to the Show Me State, I'll show you. And guess what? We're going to see more and more and more and more earthquakes in diverse places. But don't panic. Don't freak out. It's just when you see these birth pangs, contractions, right? Ladies, you know what birth pangs are that have had kids? They get closer and closer and closer, don't they? Yeah, that's why you sit there and look at the watch and, you know, count the seconds in between the contractions. And so that's why it's so important. I think that's why God has us here in this temple for these wonderful people. You know what's amazing, and I won't drag this on, is that when we first came here 2 years ago, they had an armed guard that used to walk this place. Remember that, those of you that were here when we first started? The gate was locked. We had to put a key out for the restroom, go through the gate, you know. People stand up there at the gate trying to get in, you know. But guess what? I went up there tonight, the gate's wide open. The key nobody even uses anymore. I haven't seen the security guard in 2 years. Why? Because the Lord's people are here. I believe that His angels are encamped about this place. And God has us here for a reason. These are the apple of His eye. What a joy it was to see the rabbi and part of the staff up in the sanctuary on our Christmas Eve service, hearing the Christmas story from a Jewish perspective. Oy vey. Because it is a Jewish story, you know. And so the reason this is such an amazing story here tonight, and I'm lingering on the first verse here, is because God had promised in 2 Samuel 7:16, and in God's providence, the house of David would rule over Judah and Israel forever. And guess what? God is going to fulfill His plan. Even though it looks like Athalia is on the verge of exterminating the lineage of David, guess what? God has a different plan in verse 2. Then Yehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom from Athaliah so that he was not killed. This is God's providence. This is God's plan. This shows us that God is always in control. Maybe you're feeling this week, Lord, where are you? I'm at the end of myself. I can't go one more day, Lord. Where are you? Well, you know what? God is in control of every situation, every situation. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith in God's word. That's why these Old Testament stories are so important to me. I read them and go, yes, God can do it again. God is concerned with one person, isn't He? Every single soul in this room tonight is important in the eyes of God. He loves you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. And He still loves you. That's the amazing part. And here's this gal who thought she had really pulled one over on God. You know, there are people even today think they can pull one over on God. These people would say that He doesn't exist. How wicked was this chick? She was so deceived by Baal that she was so consumed by power that she actually wiped out her own grandkids. Man. And even though she thinks she gets them all, we see there in the second verse, she misses one. And not by accident. God is in control. Verse 3. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land. And the only reason she reigned and ruled is because this was a little child at the time. And here again we see Satan's seed trying to destroy God's seed. That's what this whole battle is all about. We're not talking about flesh and blood. We're talking about principalities and powers in heavenly places. It's darkness against light. It's Satan against God. That's the battle that we fight. Satan's seed against God's seed. We saw that way back in the book of Genesis, Garden of Eden, man. But the real truth of the matter is that God always wins. Always. God never, ever loses. And so we see, actually, it's one of her grandsons who actually escapes her purge. And his name is Joash. Joash will be a good king. God is now going to bring a good king back into the southern kingdom. And it was little Joash's aunt, or aunt, if you're in New England, that stole him away to save him. What was her name? Yehosheva. Her name means, the Lord is my oath. We even see in the names how things are changing. Because Jezebel's name even was a derivative from the name Baal. Jezebaal, just named after that false god. But here we see Yehosheva, the Lord is my oath, the Lord is my promise. And guess what? She risked her life to save this little baby boy because she held on to the oath of God. She held on to the promise of God. Sometimes that's all you and I can hold on to. Have you ever been to that place in your life? Well, all we can hold on to is the promise of God. But you know what? There's no better thing to hold on to. Because God can never, ever, ever break a promise. He can't lie. And so she knew, even with her name, that the Lord is her oath. Yehosheva, by the way, was the wife of Jehoiada the priest. She was married to a priest. They didn't have the vow of celibacy in those days. That came way after. There's nothing wrong with a priest being married. I think they should be married. I'm sure glad pastors can marry. And so we see here that she was actually married to the priest. Praise the Lord. And the long-range consequences of this are staggering. Satan actually thought, even as Haman did. Remember Haman back in the book of Esther? Tried to wipe out Israel. He thought he could wipe out the Messianic line. No way. That is why we have all the begots in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. You ever read those? Brand new Christian, pop open the New Testament, Matthew, you see begot, 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 and you go, what is this? Those begots are there for a reason. It's to prove that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And He is the only one that fulfilled all of those begots on there. Even in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 23 to 38, it goes all the way back to Adam. And so the genealogy is absolutely perfect to show who He is. And guess what? No one now can fulfill the genealogy because when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, all the genealogies were wiped out. They lost all the records. And so, from 841 BC to 835 BC, little Joash was hidden in this little storage place where they kept all the bedding. And while he's in this little storage place, being kept by God and a whole bunch of soldiers, wicked Athaliah is reigning for 3 years. Can you imagine how bad it got with her ruling now? Her having the upper hand? Idolatrous and wicked and vile. You know, this really spoke to me as I looked at this one act by this one obscure woman by the name of Yehosheva. That this was really, really, really an important part of God's plan. This one act, this one thing that this woman did. Not even realizing and recognizing that thousands of years later, her name would be right there in the second verse for all to see. Sometimes we feel as though we're kind of obscure. You ever feel that way? Lord, what'd you make me for? I'm in the Coachella Valley here, you know, and just nothing but sand here, Lord. Next time you pick up a handful of sand, count the grains. You know, Pastor Joe, that's impossible. That's my point. Because Scripture tells us, it's the Scripture verse in the front of our bulletin, that the precious thoughts that the Lord has for you are numbered even more than the sand. I'm not talking the handful. I'm talking about every bit of sand in this valley, every sand trap on the golf course. Guys, next time you get in a sand trap, precious thoughts, you know. I have to buy Hallmark cards to come up with some precious thoughts for Valentine's Day and all. Don't we, guys? We usually wait till the last minute and there's a hockey game at the counter there trying to find a Valentine card. But God has more precious thoughts for you and me than the sand. Every grain. Bottom of the ocean. Bowl of clam chowder. Crunch on a grain of sand. Ah, precious thought, Lord. You know, it's amazing the number of precious thoughts that he has for you and for me. And so this woman here knew that God was her promise. God was her oath. She did this for God. She obeyed God and she captured away this little guy by the name of Joash. And man, what a difference that she made in Jewish history. And I don't think I've ever had a Jewish person mention her name before. You know, we always hear about Moses, we hear about David, we hear about all these great men and women. But when is the last time someone's ever mentioned Yehoshua? She's now an important person to me. And then when I look, 6 years, the 6 years that went by, I look at the 6 wicked years that Athaliah had reigned. What a waste of a life in a ruling position. But yet I look at the 6 years that Yehosheva was hidden and obscure. What a worthwhile life. Why? Because, man, she was right there with God. She was the connection with that one little life that still connected the line of David that the Messiah would come through. Man, how important is your life? Man, you won't know until you get to the Bema seat in heaven one day. Maybe that one little kid that you taught in Sunday school will do great things one day. Someone told me one time the name of Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher. I don't remember the guy's name, but can you imagine the perks he's going to get in heaven because he led Billy Graham to Jesus Christ. And look at all the souls that Billy Graham touched. Don't look to be recognized. Remember on Sunday, we were talking about the life of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who'd made himself of what? No reputation. Don't follow these guys on TV looking for big names and big buildings and big time ministries. What part of no reputation don't they understand? That's pretty scary. They're going to have to stand before the Lord one day. But Yehosheva was hidden with this little baby and the nurse, and they nurtured him and took care of him, protected him. And in the 7th year, Yehosheva's hubby comes on the scene to present to them the heir to the throne and to plan the overthrowing of Athaliah's kingdom. Look at verse 4. In the 7th year, Jehoiada the priest sent and brought the captains of hundreds of the bodyguards and the escorts and brought them into the house of the Lord to him. And he made a covenant with them and took an oath from them in the house of the Lord, look at this, and showed them the king's son. That had to be exciting. Why? Because they were under this oppressive Athaliah. All the Baal worship going on. Yes, they had their temple, as we see here, but there was such compromise. It's like the world today. 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church. Same thing. And so we see here that all of a sudden Jehoiada comes on the scene. He brings all of these soldiers and special forces and he shows them the king's son. Imagine what it must have been like. And then he commanded them saying, this is what you shall do. 1/3 of you who come on duty on the Sabbath or the Shabbat shall be keeping watch over the king's house. 1/3 shall be at the gate of Sur and 1/3 at the gate behind the escort. You shall keep the watch of the house lest it be broken down. The 2 contingents of you who go off duty on the Shabbat shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord for the king. But you shall surround the king on all sides, every man with weapons in his hand, and whoever comes within range, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king as he goes out and as he comes in. That's pretty good. The pull guard, when they got off, they'd still go and they'd join the other guards in a different part of the palace. Maximum security here. There must have been great joy and excitement when these royal guards saw this godly king that was finally revealed. I often wonder why Israel missed the godly king who was finally revealed. They had come off of what is known as the 400 years of silence, where the prophets had not spoken to Israel. You know the story. And all of a sudden, the king from heaven comes into obscurity in Bethlehem, house of bread. The bread of life shows up. And guess what? Children of Israel were feasting on other things. They didn't want the bread of life. But here we see, finally, this son shows up. And those in Judah must have thought that the Davidic line had been cut off. 6 years of oppression with this Athaliah. The oppression must have been overwhelming. Scripture tells us, when the righteous rule, people rejoice. When the wicked rule, people moan. Remember that in November when you go to the ballot box. If you don't vote, you get no right to moan. We have a sheet back there. We're going to have a sheet back there. If you haven't registered to vote, we are going to have a sheet back here where you can register to vote. We want you to vote. We're not going to tell you who to vote for, but Laura Otto's in the process of getting voter registration material, and we'd love to have every single one of you that's able to vote to vote. So we see here the oppression must have been terrible. Maybe even thinking that Athaliah would never be removed. Sometimes the people get that feeling when the wicked rule. Man, is it always going to be like this? Remember the children of Israel when Pharaoh told them they had to then go out and get their own straw to make bricks? The people moaned and they groaned. Then God heard them. Many today live under the rule of Satan, don't they? With the oppressive hand, without hope. Many of us in this room at one time in our lives thought, man, I will never, ever get out from under Satan's rule. Satan's got a grip on me. What's the use? And sometimes that's the feeling of people that are under wicked rule. You know what? The majority of people in this world are under the wicked rule of Satan. He's the prince of this world. And look what's going on. Yet, King Jesus came along for you and for me, didn't he? King Jesus is right there to kick Satan off the throne of your heart. And now Jesus Christ reigns and rules. Now we are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's the king of our heart. He's the ruler of our heart. And before I move on, when we look at this picture here of this king that comes that people marvel over, have you marveled over God's Son, the King? Is Jesus Christ the King of your heart? Have you seen the Son yet? Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. If you haven't seen him, God wants to show him to you by faith. Scripture says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You'll never see Jesus until you pray to receive him by faith. Those of you that became born again, did you know what was in the package before you got saved? No. Because as we saw Sunday, right, the natural man, the dead man, the corpse without the Holy Spirit, the natural man cannot understand the things of God. So by faith, we receive him as our Lord and Savior. And all of a sudden, bingo, the light goes on. You go, whoa, man. Then all of a sudden you read the Bible and go, wow, I know why those begots are there now. Begolly. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals these things to us now. You see, before you were reading someone else's mail. Now it's a personal letter to you from God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Have you seen the Son yet? I hope so. Verse 9. Now you know why I'm not doing two chapters. So the captains of the hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. Each of them took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath or the Shabbat with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath and came to Jehoiada the priest. And the priest gave the captains of hundreds, look at this, the spears and the shields which had belonged to King David, that were in the temple of the Lord. Then the escort stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, all around the king from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple by the altar and the house. And he brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, and gave him the testimony, They made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king." Wow. What a tremendous picture we see here. In 2 Samuel chapter 8, David, King David, dedicated the spears and the shields to the Lord as they were kept in the temple. They were beautiful. They were made of gold. These dedicated weapons were given to these soldiers to give them confidence and the assurance that God was with them and on their side. Imagine that, what that must have been like to receive those shields and those swords and spears from the temple, from King David's family. Man, notice as well, this wasn't just a change in government, but a revival. Why? Because they brought the word of God out. Man, again, I'm thinking about November. How often when the new president takes the oath, what do? They put their hand on the Bible. We don't need a change in government. We need to bring back the word of God. I've seen a former president of ours walking out of church with his little Bible. But unfortunately, he didn't inhale. It's one thing to put your hand on the Bible. It's another thing to put the Bible in your heart. And you know what? The day that we get someone in office to put the Bible in their heart, things are going to change in America. But as long as it's just another motion that we go through as a nation, nothing is going to change. But as I often say, don't wait for the White House to change. Change your house. I think if our house changes, then it'll work its way to the White House. You see, in Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20, if you get a chance, you can read it. The principles of God are set forth to the governing kings. God told the kings that came into office two things that they were supposed to do. Number one, they would have their own copy of the law, and they would have to write it out themselves. That's why I still handwrite my notes, because my retention level is better when I write it by hand. And when you write something down, taking notes or whatever, it's amazing how your retention level is better. And God would give them their own copy of the law, and they would copy it over and over. Also, secondly, in Deuteronomy 17, 18, it says that they shall read it all the days of their life. Wow. We should be doing the same as well. That they would learn to fear the Lord God, Deuteronomy says, and be careful to observe all the words of the laws and the statutes. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have leaders like that in America today? I've been told that when you go through the White House, there are scripture verses in stone. There are statues of Moses. Guess what? Calvary Chapel has been invited to the White House May 7th, 8th, and 9th. Tina and I and Jim and Carolyn get to go, and we get to see firsthand. They've invited Pastor Chuck Smith to speak, and all of the Calvary guys that want to go with their wives. We get to personally visit the White House. We get to pray in Washington, D.C., and we get to see what God has for us there. So, amazing. Who says being a Christian is boring? I've never had such a blast since I got saved, man. Can I afford to do all this stuff? Absolutely not. But guess what? They're picking up the tab. That's even better. That's right within my budget. Free. Anyway. And so we see that they believed in the Word of God. They had their own copy of the law. They should read it all the days of their life. And they should learn to fear the Lord their God and observe all the words and all the statutes. But you see, these people here are looking for revival. That's what they want. Why are they now looking for revival? Because oftentimes we don't know what we have until we lose it. And I think in America, we're on the verge of losing our religious freedom because we're so complacent. because the leaven is creeping in, because all this stuff is creeping in, these people here are looking for a revival. They bring the book out. In America, they bring the book out, but they don't open it up. That's why Athaliah is beginning to rule in America. Verse 12. And he brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, and gave him the testimony. They made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king." To me, it's a picture of Jesus. Verse 13. Now, when Athaliah heard the noise of the escorts, she heard the coronation and the people, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. When she looked, there was the king standing by a pillar according to the custom, and the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing the trumpets. So Athaliah tore her clothes and cried out, "Treason, treason." And Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and the officers of the army and said to them, "Take her outside under guard and slay with the sword whoever follows her." For the priest had said, "Do not let her be killed in the house of the Lord." And so they seized her, and she went by the way of the horse's entrance into the king's house, and there she was killed. Amazing. She died a violent death just like her mother did. Her mother was trampled by horses. So we see here the noise of the coronation. Notice they had music in the temple. Some people today say, "Well, we don't like the music." Hey, man, there's music, there's clapping we've seen, there's rejoicing going on. The temple was holy. It was a holy place. Execution was not allowed inside the temple, but outside the gates. And so that's exactly what happened to Athaliah. Took her outside, put her to death. You see, before the children of Israel could return to worship, there had to be the removal of sin. You can't have one and do the other. Jehoiada removes wicked Athaliah and returns the people back to God. Hallelujah. You see, you got to get the sin out. A little leaven does leaven the whole lump. The first place I check in my own life personally, when things are dry, when my heart is cold, when it just seems as though my life is stagnant, that's the first place I go. Man, is there sin in my life? Am I entertaining sin? What is going on here? There's a blockage. There's a hindrance somewhere. The reason that the Dead Sea is dead, it's because there's an inlet with no outlet, stagnant. The reason that the Sea of Galilee is pure, there's an inlet and there's an outlet. We need the living water of Jesus Christ flowing through our lives, the Holy Spirit continually. You know, when there's a blockage, we get stagnant. There's a stench. And so Jehoiada says, "Look at this, guys." Boom, Athaliah's gone. And all of a sudden, man, the people turn back to God. We need America to turn back to God, but Athaliah's got to go. Athaliah comes in many packages today. I don't need to name them. Let me show you some packages. Put your ribbon in there, your bulletin. We're not going anywhere, are we? Unless the people that are going to watch American Idol are already at home. So, Athaliah. Anyway, Acts chapter 19. I want to show you something very interesting. Right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you find the book of Acts, chapter 19. Pick it up, verse 11. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it up upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." They thought they could come along and just join right in and just use the name of Jesus. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. But here's the key. Look at this. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Time to clean house. And look how they clean house, verse 19. Also, many of those who had practiced magic, divination, witchcraft, brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. You see what happens when you clean house? When we got saved, man, I had idols all over my house. All the beer stuff and you name it, you know, all the worldly stuff. We cleaned house, man, and I didn't give it away. Burned it. Flushed it. Poured it down the sink. Didn't give all my booze to my friends. It went down the sink. You know what? All of a sudden, there was a peace. All of a sudden, there was just a... It was almost as though the place lit up. It kicked all the idols out. But you know what? Sometimes people want to hold on to things. Just in case I have a relapse, man. I keep a bag of weed in the drawer or something, you know? Just in case. A little first aid kit. Or a bottle somewhere. You fill in the blanks, you know? God wants us to clean house. He wants Athalia gone. He wants it swept clean. Why? Because God wants to set you free, completely free. And He can do a good job. And notice the response. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And if you want the word of the Lord to grow mightily in your life and to prevail and to be able to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the newness of life, you got to clean house with some of this stuff. And there are Christians even dabbling in tarot cards and fortune tellers and all that stuff. I'm not talking about the fortune cookie at the Chinese restaurant. I just laugh over that. But I'm talking about this stuff like Ouija boards, occultic stuff, Wicca, black magic, white magic, all this stuff. Get it out. It will cause chaos in your home. Back to 2 Kings and we'll finish. My point is, too many people today worship the Lord on Sunday and Baal Monday through Saturday. 2 Chronicles 24:7 says that Athalia had taken the sacred objects of the temple and mixed them with the objects of Baal. And you know what? America's got a mixed bag today. People are confused. Well, which one is the real God? Which church do I go to? Which way do I get to heaven? And they're confused by what they see. And God makes it very simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the only way, and the only truth, and the only life. And how sad it is, we claim to be a Christian nation, but yet we are a nation of many ways that are the wrong way. Jesus said it's the highway that's the wrong way. The broad way leads to damnation. And there's many who go there. But he says the way that leads to life is narrow and there are few who find it. I think if we let our light shine and get Baal out of our lives and remove all this stuff, removal means revival. That's the bottom line. And we see it here in the children of Israel. Are you serving the Lord Jesus or are you serving Baal today? And what God says to you and I, if you're serving me, prove it. Look at verse 18. And all the people of the land went to the temple of Baal and tore it down. You thought I was kidding, huh, when I said, get the stuff out of your house. They thoroughly broke in pieces its altars and images and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. You see what happens? God says, prove your love for me. You love Jesus Christ? Prove it. Be different. There must be a radical change. If there's not a radical change in your life, there's not a radical change in your destination. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, there's got to be something radically different about us. You see, commitment means cleaning house. Dedication means destroying the old gods. Very simply. Revival means removal. The dung heap, take it to the landfill, remove it. Purity comes from purging, doesn't it? Purify your heart. It's the washing of the word, the renewing our minds. And the results, verse 19, then they took the captains and hundreds of bodyguards, the escorts and all the people from the land. And they brought the king down from the house of the Lord and went by way of the gates of the escorts to the king's house. Then he sat on the throne of the kings. Look at this. So all the people of the land, all of them, all of the people of the land rejoiced. And the city was quiet. That means they finally had peace. Shalom. Wow. It can happen personally in your own life where you can rejoice and you can have peace in your heart. The peace that surpasses all understanding. It can happen in your home. It can happen in your neighborhood. It can happen in this valley, I believe. In order for there to be a revival, there's got to be a removal. And it says, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword in the king's house. And Joash was 7 years old when he became the king. Isn't that an amazing story? God's plan continues on. Hallelujah. Israel returns back, or Judah, the southern kingdom, returning back to the Lord. Northern kingdom, Baal's gone. Southern kingdom, Baal's gone. But just temporal. You know the book of Kings, 1 and 2 Kings. Man, all of a sudden they get back on the right track and then they begin to drift again. But you know what? There's a lesson in that for all of us, isn't there? That's why God shows us these things. Paul says in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that these things were given as examples to us so that we can learn from them. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenges, Lord. Thank you that you love us so that you just lay it right out before us. Thank you, Lord, for the person of the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us in all truth. Thank you, Lord, that you convict us and you challenge us. Thank you, Father, that you give us the power to overcome these obstacles in our lives, these gods. And I pray, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would show us what needs to go individually, corporately, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that you would show us how to clean house. Lord, we know that you're coming for a bride that's without spot or blemish. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to have victory. That we would kick Athaliah out once and for all, Lord. Help my brothers and sisters here tonight that may be struggling with some things, some little gods that they're holding on to. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would give them victory. That you would not only challenge them to change, but that you would give them the power to do it, Lord. And so tonight, I pray that this would be a turning point for every one of us, even in examining our hearts, to see where we stand, Lord. Would you do that? At the same time, we thank you, Father, that we can look at a chapter like this and know that you're even concerned for the littlest, for the weakest of us, like that little Joash. Thank you for the faithfulness of one lady who made a radical change, not only in her home, but among her people. And I pray, Lord, that you would raise up men and women to make a radical change in this valley. Would you do that, please? We know that with you all things are possible. And Lord, we're not looking to get our name in the lights. We're not looking to gain a reputation. Lord, all we want to do is bring glory to your name. Would you help us to do that? And so, Father, we thank you tonight for this wonderful, marvelous book called the Bible. Lord, may we not only read it, but may, Lord, it just change our hearts. May it become part of us, Lord. Help us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ by the washing of your word, the renewing of our minds. And Lord, what a blessing it is Lord, to be drawn closer as you've begun the good work and you promise to be faithful to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so again, Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the worship, the fellowship. And may, as we go out into this mission field called the Coachella Valley, may our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all